Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, move in our minds and hearts as we open our souls to you. Help us understand how your word calls us to live today and tomorrow, as we follow Jesus, your living word. Amen. Over the store speakers, you could hear, "Attention, attention shoppers, we're looking for Mrs. Stover. Attention, Mrs. Stover, a son of yours is here at the service desk. Attention, Mrs. Stover, we have a lost child." In a few minutes, my mother would, come to the service desk, fetch me, and occasionally it felt like a routine. You wander off in those department stores. I don't even know if we have department stores anymore. We have big box stores. I guess there are a few department stores left around. But as a youngster, in amongst the clothes racks and you can't see over them, it looks undaunting to try and find where your parent is. Or maybe they've left you behind. I don't think that was my mother's intention. It could be that I wandered off, just like the sheep, wandered off to look at something, not mindful of where my mother was at the time. It can be a sense of aloneness and abandonment. Where is my mother? But I always knew the way to the service desk. I don't know how I knew my way there. Maybe many times being separated in the department store. I have to tell you that this also happened in my mother's 80th years. It wasn't too long ago that I took her shopping. She was recovering from a broken hip. She had a walker. She said, "I want to go shopping. It'd be a great thing for me to get out and walk." So I took her to the local, I think it was a Loblaws superstore. Those are big stores. So I thought as I was looking at something, she wouldn't be far away. After all, she has a walker. Where can she go? Well, of course, I look up, and there's no sign of my mother. Now, she's the one that's wandered off, or I think she's wandered off. So where did I go? To the service desk. Even at a mature age, to go to the service desk to say, "Mrs. Stover." But isn't that the way we sometimes are? Right? We're always searching and we're wandering off. So my mother would say, "I wasn't lost. I knew exactly where I was." You're an adult. You could have just searched for me. But if you have to know my mother, when she was living, she would somehow, with that walker, she would take off like it was turbocharged. And away she would go. Probably how that lamb wandered from the flock and got so far away that the shepherd could not see it and had to go searching. My mother always said, "It's not your keys that are lost, they're right where you left them." Has anyone ever said that to you as well? It's not the keys that are lost. It's not the $20 that you think that you had in your wallet. Probably there, or you've tucked it into a coat jacket, pocket somewhere. And when you find it, you rejoice, right? It's just like finding your keys. That may also lead us to a way to work on a new process so we never misplace our keys again, which I have to say, it has only happened to me once or twice in my adult life. The two parables that I read this morning are like that from the gospel reading. Looking at how God wants us as his beloved children. Now in the second one where the woman loses the coin, the drachma, it was a drachma. One of her pieces of silver falls. She can't see it. She has to sweep and turn on the bright lamp. The light of Christ is there in her life. The coin does not change its value because it has dropped away from her. The coin is still the coin. It, you know, abates her. Where is it? In those days, you might have a brick floor or a wooden floor or a straw floor, and she just could not see it for the dirt and the straw. But the bright light of Christ shone in her life so that she could find that coin, that very precious coin, because in those times, the ancient times, one silver coin was worth one day of work. You think about that. What if we lost that amount of money in one day? Don't you think we would turn on every light in our house looking for it? Wouldn't we ask God for guidance so that we could find it? She loses that coin, her family may not be able to eat. They may not be able to pay rent. Certainly not be able to order an Uber to come and pick her up. So that's why she was frantic to find that coin. And with the help of the light of Christ in her life, she was able to find that coin and rejoice. To say to her friends, I want to celebrate now that I have found this. Now that I have found this, because I thought it was lost, and now it is found, I rejoice. And I want you to rejoice with me. In the earlier parable about the lost sheep, how many of us, 1 out of 100, gets lost, wanders off? If you've ever been near a flock of sheep, you'll see that they all stay together. The shepherd called on a friend to mind his other 99. But if you know who your lead sheep is, the others will follow. Watch them sometimes if you've ever seen them herding sheep. Not too many stray. But when they do, they have no idea how to get back to the flock. And the good shepherd goes after that one sheep, climbing through rocks, terrible terrain, using his staff to bring him comfort and stabilize himself on the journey. And he finds the sheep. And then he carries it on his shoulders. And we've seen that image so many times in great paintings over the centuries. The care and the love for that sheep to be reunited with the flock. That's God's grace, alive and well for each of us. There's good news in these parables. The good news that Jesus was teaching something to the Pharisees and the scribes, because the first part of the reading starts out that they're criticizing him because he's sitting with the tax collectors and the poor. How dare you do that sort of thing if you're a learned rabbi? I think those two parables tell us something for our time. When we're lost, God never gives up on us. We often give up on God. When trying to find our keys, when we're lost on a trip, if we're not using a GPS, even then, sometimes you feel like you're lost. But God doesn't abandon us. God is there with us. And that's what Jesus is saying today. I am with you. No matter where you are, no matter what the trouble in your life, I am there. It may seem that in our society, we're seeing so many things that lead us astray from the good news. The news headlines indicate that almost every day. We're almost to the point where, or at least I am, where I don't even want to turn on the news anymore. For what's happening in our society, what's happening in our world, people are turning away from the truth and the good news. But there is a light. There is a light for each of us. And I think there's some good news stories that are shared with us in the last weeks. I think Reverend Hugh actually talked about one last week. Greta Thunberg. I think that's probably not the correct Swedish pronunciation of her last name. It's probably Thunberg. A Swedish teenager. How many have seen the news articles about her? Amazing young woman. Amazing young woman. And there's the light of Christ in her life, where she led a school strike. The only teenager at her Swedish school where she did a school strike. And why did she do that? She did it to make a point. She said, why would I go to school if the climate is failing us and there's no future? Why would I need to go to school? Good point, Greta. And from that, if you now follow what she's been doing and where she is, not only in Europe, but she's sailed across the Atlantic Ocean on a solar-powered and wind-sailing craft to arrive in New York, and she's been talking to various groups and talked at the UN and also to other leaders. But a lesson for all of us, a lesson for all of us to listen to what we need to do for our climate, what we need to do for our creation, God's good creation that is entrusted to us. No matter what age we are, no matter what our ability, God's creation is entrusted to us. And this young woman and all of her friends worldwide or followers are doing that. They're bringing the message of climate control, action that we need to take now to preserve this planet. She reminds me of the Good Shepherd. She reminds me of what it means to be called to follow. Take a stand. Get out there and do something. Even the smallest thing, like giving up drinking straws at a restaurant. The plastic straws that will take at least 500 years to disintegrate. I couldn't believe how much time it will take single-use plastics to disintegrate, if at all. These things are important for future generations. We're called to act. Called to reach out to our politicians, especially at this time of year. They come knocking on the door. Hi, I'm your Liberal candidate. Hi, I'm your NDP candidate. Hi, I'm your Progressive Conservative candidate. And my first question is, what will your government do about climate change? And they said, oh, we have this big plan. I said, no, what are you going to put into action? It's not the plan, it's the call to action. Because we all have to do that. We all are called to take care of God's creation. Now, as adults, we're called to take action on this whole issue of climate change. On Friday, September the 27th, there will be a global protest, not just here in Ontario. It's planned for Friday, September the 27th at 12 noon, meeting at Queen's Park. Now, I just find it ironic that it happens to be at Queen's Park and the current government sitting. I don't have to fill in the blank about climate change and how they feel. But it's up to us to speak up and to ask our politicians, what is the action plan going forward? What is the number one federal election topic now? Do you know? It is the environment. The environment becomes number one. Number two is our economic situation and jobs. It's not just because one teenager in Sweden was called to become the voice for climate change, but it's for all of us. All of us. That's when we are found, that we speak up. We get our friends to also recognize the problems in our society. That's when we are not lost, but we are called to do God's work in our world. Remember that date, February the 27th, gathering at 11 a.m. at Queen's Park. I will certainly be there, and I hope you'll join me as well. But even though that's climate change, where are the drachmas in your life? Where are those silver pieces that you might have dropped? Not a loony or a toonie, but something more valuable than that. Where's the lost sheep of your life? Wandering about, looking for purpose. How do we call out, or who do we call out to, when we're heading in the wrong direction? God wants the best for us, his children. It says in the scripture to repent. Repent is just change our ways. It's difficult, but we're on this journey together to support one another. And so I say to you, let's find that way. Let's find where we've wandered and we can get back to the flock. Let's recover that silver piece so that we can rejoice. Rejoice and be joyful. Joy, as I heard from Paul Scott Wilson at the earlier service, is the key to it. Not happiness, but joy. Joy is what we're looking for. Joy is what God reaches out and offers us through Jesus Christ. And for a little boy, it was having my mother paged. For an adult man, it was often an embarrassment for her to come to the service desk to see her elderly son standing there waiting for his mother. Speak to God. Seek the truth of where we are going. Don't be afraid to ask questions or take risks in life's journey, as we see from Greta and many other leaders on many other issues. God is always with us. Jesus is there to show us the way, the truth, and the life, just as he was when he was rebuking the scribes and Pharisees. The grace of our Lord overflows in me with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. To the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be all glory and honor. Amen.